Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
In fact, I was thinking that if you want to have fun with your kids or grandkids, just say, I got an idea. We can kill half an hour this way. I'm going to get the box fan out. We'll set it up. It's going to be getting warmer. And then you talk into it and you'll sound like that. And probably then those kids' parents will say, hey, that's dangerous. You're going to cut your lips or your finger or whatever. But we didn't. We got away with it. I wonder if Dr. Copen would allow that. This conversation is sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Dr. Jeffrey Copen is the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. Nobody's come in with busted lips because they got them caught in a box fan, have they, doctor?
Of course they have, John. Of course they have. We could do a whole segment on box fans and injuries. It's pretty amazing, actually.
Are you just making that up?
No, seriously. Seriously.
I mean,
last week we talked about that TV show, The Pit, right?
Yeah.
And without spoiling, I mean, spoiling the show for anybody, there's an interesting scene having to deal with a fork. And how that's based on a real incident. That's not something that somebody made up. That really happened.
I evidently haven't gotten to that episode yet, so I'll wait and see what that's about. You know, I've been thinking about our conversation with you since we last visited about that TV show, The Pit, multi-series, kind of like ER, starring, lo and behold, Noah Wiley as the attending, or what do you call the guy that's in charge of the ER? What's his position, doctor?
He's the medical director.
Medical director there. And I very much appreciated your thoughts about that. One question I didn't ask was that in the ER suites where they're actually doing the work on the people, their loved ones are right there even as they're doing these emergency procedures. And I thought, that's not realistic. The family or friends aren't in that little curtained area, are they, doctor?
Not like you see in The Pit. I think they do that for dramatic effect. As a matter of fact, they're what we call aseptic technique to keep people from getting infected. Did you notice how when they're doing certain surgical procedures, not even wearing masks? You wear masks when you do stuff like they're doing there. So that's more dramatic than anything else. We want family to be with their loved ones in the ER, but not when we're doing procedures like that. That would not be appropriate.
Yeah. We're going to open the side of your son's skull to relieve the pressure on the eyeball, and it's going to bleed out for a while, and the dad is sitting right there going, will this affect his chances in the show? So that, I thought, was okay. And I think also, doctor, probably just from a technical standpoint, it gives the show an opportunity to explain what's happening to the audience when they have a reason to. They got to explain it to the mom or dad that are standing right there. Otherwise, they probably wouldn't be talking to each other about the procedure so much, or maybe they would. I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of communication, actually, John, between physicians, nurses, other caregivers when procedures are going on. That's part of the way that we do it well, right? With a lot of good communication. Here's what I'm going to do now. Here's what I'm going to need. You know, as a matter of fact, before any procedure is done, we do something called taking a timeout, which is literally a timeout. Everybody stops what they're doing, and then the surgeon says, here's what we're going to be doing, and everyone has to agree with him or her. And that's one of the safety mechanisms. Mm-hmm. We have to make sure we're doing the right thing and everybody's on the same page. So there's a lot of conversation, a lot of discussion as those things go on. The other thing, too, that you see in that show, and that's very typical in our Northwestern ERs, we always have trainees, be they residents, students, technicians who are training to work towards a certificate in something. So there's always a lot of teaching that's going on in our emergency rooms, frankly, within our hospitals. And that's very important, too. And that can be, when done right, and I think we do it right, that's really helpful for families and for the patients, because that kind of education is then extended also to the patient and the patient's family, so everybody really understands what's going on.
I was at 675 North St. Clair yesterday and had some blood taken out, and I got that little email that says, what was the quality of care that you got? And you said, please fill those out because these matter. You guys pay attention to that stuff, right?
And oh, we do. We take that really seriously. Matter of fact, when after I'm done here, I have clinic, and after clinic, I go to a meeting, and one of the things we're going to be talking about is the results of those surveys.
And then they say, could you mind if we ask you some more questions? And I said, yeah. And then they say, well, what are your comments? Why did you give us a 9 or a 10? Which I did. I didn't give anything below a 9. And I said, and this is what I said. I said that the it wasn't just the woman that saw me. I had a question about my care. I was there for a reason. Anyway, then somebody else took the blood. But I said, everybody I interacted with was so efficient. They weren't rushed, but they just knew what they were doing. And they were very pleasant. And I just so appreciated, I don't know what the end of this sentence is, the professionalism, the efficiency, but also the level of care I felt I was getting.
You can't help walking out feeling better.
I know, Steve. It's like, doggone it. These people are good at doing something. It happens to be me right now, but you just appreciate competence almost in any discipline, and it's just everywhere.
I have an appointment next week, and I'm looking forward to it. Doctor, there's something, fix me. There's something
yeah.
wrong with me.
Okay, that's another problem entirely.
You know, it's interesting. You know, John and Steve, one of the things we talk a lot about, we want our patients when they leave to feel like you did today, John. I mean, that's so important. And it's like you're delighted with the care you got, right? Yeah. It's even beyond being pleased.
No, yeah, it makes me feel better.
Yeah,
it
makes me feel good that I think they know what's going on with me, right? So I got a question here. What is it? And not only do I feel better, but I feel better about feeling better, which is the name of the game. I don't know why we're talking about all this, Doctor. I should be asking you about some specific things. And I do have a couple of questions on the medical front. You got a minute?
I do.
We'll stop talking about TV shows for crying out loud here in a second. It's 1:46. Back to Dr. Copen in a minute. This is WGN. It's 1:50. We're talking to Dr. Jeffrey Copen, the chief medical officer at the Pitt, which is a hospital in Pittsburgh that he likes to talk about. Oh, wait, he's at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital. You still there, Doc?
I am. It's the Pitt of... No, actually, it's a very nice place. Nothing Pitt-like about it.
Does Northwestern have a nickname like that? That's the University Hospital in Pittsburgh. Do you guys have a nickname for Northwestern's emergency room or hospital?
I don't think we have anything like that.
The big
purple?
We're
going to have to come up with a good nickname, Jeff. Yeah, I'm going to work on this, and then I'll share it.
Please ask Dr. Copen if having COVID causes people to lose their immunity to other diseases that they've been vaxxed for, like measles.
So at the time somebody has an acute infection, when they're actively infected with a virus like COVID, it is possible to have decreased immunity to other things, particularly other viruses. Other than that, though, in the long term, we're not seeing significant types of immunocompromise in people after they recover from COVID.
Got it. The Pope has passed away. Complications from pneumonia, it sounds like. And then did he have a stroke? But I'm just wondering if you could just give me some 411 on pneumonia, how people get it, how to combat it, how worrisome it is when somebody gets it, Doctor.
So Pope Francis had pretty significant case of pneumonia. He was hospitalized for, I think, close to 2 months altogether. And 2 weeks before he passed away, the Vatican announced he was out of danger.
Yeah.
And what this really shows us is how dangerous pneumonia can be in older people. And the Pope was 88 years old. He certainly qualified. So when recovering from a bad case of pneumonia, an 88-year-old can absolutely die of other things. And I don't know exactly what it was that caused the Pope's death, but this clearly was a complication of a bad pneumonia. So for our older folks, our older listeners, We've been talking a lot about vaccinations and the importance to be vaccinated. One of the vaccines we talk about sometimes, John, that I maybe we'll emphasize right now is against pneumonia caused by something called pneumococcus. Pneumococcus is a bacterium. There's multiple different types of pneumococcus, and the good news is we have an extremely effective vaccine. The recommendation is people after they're 65 should get this pneumococcal vaccine. So if our listeners who are over 65 or somebody who is otherwise immunocompromised has not yet gotten the pneumococcal vaccine, that's absolutely something you should consider getting. Talk to your doctor about it the next time you see your doctor, or you can speak to your pharmacist. All the pharmacies stock this. It's a very well-tolerated vaccine, and this one is absolutely a lifesaver. You don't want to get pneumococcal pneumonia. It can make people very, very ill, and it's a common cause of death in older folks.
Well, would you suppose that had the Pope been vaccinated against that, he would not have caught the pneumonia then? Is it that effective?
Yeah, yeah, see, I don't know what type of pneumonia Pope Francis had. I read a lot of the news accounts, and I never saw exactly what type of pneumonia, if they knew what it was.
Yeah.
I would like to believe that the Pope did have the proper vaccinations, including this pneumococcal one. But, you know, 88 years old, and he, you know, he had been in failing health for a while, even before the pneumonia. So the pneumonia, as I said, is a common cause of death in older people, and I suspect that's what happened with him.
Okay, we're going to have to leave it at that today, Doctor. It's the insight is always most interesting, and the information is too. I hope you can join us next Tuesday.
I look forward to it, and everybody take good care. Bye-bye.
Dr. Jeffrey Copen is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine's Lake Forest Hospital.